Justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. These are two themes that permeate our lives and permeate our entertainment. They're themes that we've talked about all throughout human history. Justice and mercy. They're especially in our entertainment, in novels we read and movies we watch. One of my favorite novels, one of my favorite stories of all time is Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. And in that story, you have these two conflicting characters. Javert is the one who upholds a strict justice. Even towards the end of the story, he can't receive the mercy that's offered to him, and it leads to his demise. He is the picture of justice. But then you have Jean Valjean, whom he's chasing, and he is the opposite picture, the picture of mercy. He recognizes that a goodly bishop extended mercy to him, and then he, in the course of his life, extends it to others, reaching out to the poor, forgiving others. Certainly he's not perfect, but he becomes the icon of mercy. It's a great story, whether you've watched the films or read the novel. It's a great picture of these two themes, justice and mercy. If you're not familiar with this story, maybe you're familiar with another. This is an iconic story of my childhood, and it kind of dates me. The Karate Kid movies. Justice and mercy. You have Mr. Miyagi training this new boy, Daniel, and you have his conflict with the Cobra Kai. And maybe some of the kids have seen the new series, Cobra Kai, and so you're familiar with some of these principles. But the icon of justice and mercy for me in that film comes in the second film, The Karate Kid 2. Daniel goes with Mr. Miyagi over to Japan, to his home island of Okinawa. And Daniel, at the climax of the film, is here with his enemy in his hands. He has his hand right in front of his face. And Daniel says to his enemy, "Live or die, man, live or die." And his enemy actually says, "Die." He upholds justice. "I deserve death." And Daniel says, "Wrong." And then he goes, "Honk," and honks his nose in classic 80s humor. Daniel delves out mercy, even when his enemy was crying out for justice. Justice and mercy. But where do these themes come from? Where do we find evidence of their origin? I would say justice actually comes from our human reason. It's been talked about all throughout human history. Even the Greek philosophers, Plato and Aristotle, they talked about justice. It could be defined as giving what is due to someone. And of course, people wrestled, well, what does that mean? Even the first to talk about this in a retaliation way of figuring out equal retaliation, Hammurabi's Code. Maybe you remember that from your elementary school days. Hammurabi's Code, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's a delving out of justice in a way that if someone takes my eye, I'm not just able to kill them. Justice would demand an equal retaliation. So Hammurabi's Code, even before the Old Testament was written, figured out how can we understand this concept of justice, of giving someone what they're due. It can be known by our reason, and it was talked about by the Greeks. But mercy is something that we really can't figure out on our own. Mercy only comes to us by revelation, by God's revelation to his people. That's why mercy has really been the gift of Judeo-Christians. It's been the gift, their contribution to the world, understanding we have a God who is merciful to us. He doesn't just sit in the heavens delving out justice. You done, you done. We have a God in the heavens who triumphs over justice with his mercy. We sang that in the responsorial psalm from the Old Testament. The Lord is kind and merciful. We see it all throughout the Old Testament in the stories, the story from the first book of Samuel today. David has his enemy, Saul, in his grasp, but he spares his life. He says, "Who am I to take the life of this my enemy?" And he spares him. He shows him mercy. Throughout the Old Testament, we have the theme of the Jubilee year as well, when slaves are released and debts are forgiven. This is a response of how generous God has been to us. He's been merciful to us. And so I ought to show mercy to my fellow man, my fellow woman. And then, of course, this finds its fulfillment in the New Testament with Jesus, who is the divine mercy. And he gives us these words today that don't make sense to the world. The world scratches their heads at some of these commands. Love your enemies. Bless and do good to those who hate you. Offer your other cheek when someone strikes you. These things are unthinkable to the world. With the theme of a strict justice, these things don't make sense. But Jesus, who is rich in mercy, invites us to imitate him. Jesus, who is the divine mercy, tells us justice, mercy, both important. But mercy always triumphs over justice. Mercy is always greater. That's why we Christians reach out to the world in works of mercy, reaching out to those who disagree with us, reaching out to those who hate us, who spit on us. We still feed them. We still do good to them. We still bless them. Because we know it's what Jesus has done to us. When we were sinners, when we deserved no mercy, Jesus still died for us. Jesus did not hold a strict justice on us, but instead forgave from the cross those who were nailing him. This is why we Christians reach out. It's why we do good, we bless to those who curse us. We don't bless them, we don't serve them because they agree with us. We don't bless them or serve them because they're Christian. We do it because we're Christian. Because Jesus is alive in us, and we want to reach out with his mercy. This is the great gift and contribution of the Judeo-Christian tradition to the world, that mercy triumphs over justice.